your trip?
Well, this is really last minute, as of like 30 seconds ago. So I'm going to rely on God to get me through this without boring you to tears. But one of my husband's dreams has always been to visit Israel, and I love to travel. And I go away a lot without him because he's busy working. But he provides an environment that I can do that, and I thank you, sweetheart. I really appreciate that. So this was one trip that we just never thought that we'd, number one, be able to afford, number two, have the time. But God just worked everything out, and we got a tremendous deal on the trip. Derek decided he wanted to go 2 days early so that we could get acclimated with the time change before the tour started. And we were a little worried about my dietary restrictions, being gluten-free, and people were telling us, you know, even people in the church were, you know, saying, are you really sure you want to go over there right now? You know, ISIS is looking for little Americans. And so I didn't have too much fear, and then I got a notice from my son, who's in the Special Forces, and he said, Mom, you really might want to reconsider the timing on this, and he showed me what they were advised by the Department of Defense. So we prayed about it. I was almost ready to cancel. And by the grace of God, he had me, through my business, introduced to a young lady who I've never met in person through Facebook. And I private messaged her and I said, what's your take? You live over there. Tell me if it's safe. And she said, Diana, she said, it's as safe as the United States. She said, you only see what the news wants you to see, just like New York City. She said, anywhere you go, you're going to take a chance. She said, but I believe it's safe. And she said, I would encourage you to come. She said, as a matter of fact, I'll come over to your hotel, and I'll spend 2 days, and I'll take you around before your tour starts. What a blessing. She's lived in Israel 36 years. She's from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, my home state. Only God could have orchestrated that within the last 48 minutes of us boarding the plane. So we get over there, and we had a pretty good time. My tour guide happens to be gluten-free. So he was able to interpret everywhere we stopped to eat. Another blessing. We got upgraded to a 5-star hotel the last 5 days, but that's a whole other story that Derek will share with you. That was the only place we saw any terrorists, and they were about the ages of 8 to 13. But from a spiritual perspective, we ended up on a Catholic tour, unbeknownst to us, and there was a lot of emphasis on the Catholic tradition, a lot of masses, a lot of the Catholic Church emphasis. But the overriding thing that I got out of it is whether you're Catholic, whether you're Protestant, whether you're Methodist, whether you're evangelical, to stand in the place where Jesus stood. I was overcome at the Sea of Galilee with just emotion that I said to him, I can't believe I'm standing on the same ground. I'm touching the water that Jesus walked on. What a blessing. What a blessing. People have asked us about the tour. I said I wouldn't go back. I enjoyed it. I wouldn't go back, but I wouldn't have traded it for anything. It was truly an emotional and a spiritual moving event. And I'll share this with you because our church can understand this. Derek stayed behind on one of the tours because he was afraid they were going to take us to another diamond store. And that's a whole other story I have to share with you. But I went to the Sea of Caesarea, and during that tour, we toured a lot of the Roman ruins, and we were in this big, what used to be, I guess, like a coliseum, and our tour group was all lined up on one side, and there was a group of Nigerians that came in, and they were on the other side. And I don't have to tell you how those people worship. We're part of that group. I mean, we worship with the Spirit. We speak in tongues. We're not ashamed. And they start speaking in tongues and singing, and their pastor is just leading them, and they're praising the Lord out in the open. And my tour group's saying, are they speaking Nigerian? And the tour director says, no, I think that's called tongues, speaking in tongues. And I said, hey, I do that. all kind of looked at me. But anyway, if you get a chance to go, I really wanted to party with that group. They were down in the Jordan River, and they, you know, they had the white robes on. They were baptizing each other and singing and playing instruments and just having a wonderful time. But I would encourage you, if you ever get an opportunity to go, do go. It's a lot of rocks, a lot of dust. You don't want to take your dress-up clothes or anything, but it was an experience, and we were very blessed by the opportunity. So.
Testing, 1, 2. That was not boring, sister. That was not boring at all. That was definitely a blessing. Praise God. What an awesome, awesome opportunity. I'm glad you guys were blessed and got to enjoy that. It's awesome. You know, the Bible says that that's the first wife, Israel. Praise God, we're the second wife. And we have the covenant. Amen. Our Father redeemed us, and man, could have left us out in the cold, but he redeemed us. Praise God. And that's something that we don't take lightly. It's a joy to be part of the household of faith. Amen. Praise God. Do any ministers have anything in their heart they'd like to share? Praise God. I want you all to... I don't know if you all know, but our brother Rudy is in the hospital. Is he still in the hospital, sister? He's in the hospital. He's in North Austin Medical Center, room 359. He had surgery, and so he's doing well. But I would encourage you, if you have time, go visit our brother. If not, pick up the phone, call him, encourage him. Let him know that he's loved. I don't know if he's looking at live stream, but brother, we love you, appreciate you. Speaking divine wholeness over your body. And you'll be out of that hospital real soon. Amen. Yes. Praise God. We don't lose any of our people to the lies and tricks of the enemy. Amen. Yes. Wholeness and health belongs to us. Yes. And we lay hold of it. And so we praise God. Praise God for our brother. So if you get a chance, like I said, he's in North Austin Medical Center, room 359. If you get a chance, go visit with him and bring him something to snack on. And be a blessing to that family. Amen. Well, as you know, I don't know if you noticed, but Brother Richard and Jared, they snuck out. It's a big day in the Sanders household today. Katie and Aaron are going to be joined together today, so we're thankful for that family. We speak blessings on them. I remember what it's like being a young couple getting married. You know, it's funny, when I was getting ready to get married, but before, when I met Tara, I had this plan. I was like, I ain't getting married till I'm 30. You know, once I got my house in Barton Creek, you know, I had this plan. You know, you say you talk to God and tell him your plans, he laughs at him. It's like, well, you're going to get married at 22, 23 years old. But when I was, you know, praise God for my brother Rick Gore cuts my hair, so I was thinking about that yesterday, and God spoke to my heart and said that the attitude of the bride needs to be something that we continue in 2018. And immediately I knew what God was saying when he said the attitude of the bride. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, very familiar passage of scripture. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll look at verse 22. You might want to stay camped out there for a little while, but that's the main passage of scripture that we're coming from today. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. I'll go ahead and read it once you're there. Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 23 through 24, it says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything." Now, emphasis on subject to Christ. We are the bride of Christ, subject to him. Yes. And I remember sitting, Tara's pastor, Pastor Barry Jackson, her childhood pastor, he married us. And he said, "I don't marry nobody that I don't counsel." He said, "If I don't counsel y'all, I ain't marrying you." So that was automatic. I didn't have an option in that. So we set out sometimes throughout the, we got married in December of 1993, December 18 of 1993, 25 years this year, praise God. And that's a blessing, praise God. And so sitting in Pastor Jackson, the summer before we got married, I would go to Dallas and I would sit in his office. And, you know, there'd be some times where there would just be one-on-one, he and I. And I think there were times that he met with Tara. And we did that several times before we got married in December. It was a tremendous blessing. And it was funny. This was even before God called me to ministry. He said, "Brother, you a preacher?" And I was like, "No." He was like, "I don't know." But anyway, I guess he just saw something that I didn't at that time. I'm not a preacher. I'm a minister of the gospel. But Baptist people, they associate preacher with minister. You know how it is. I have to explain it. But anyway, one of the things that Pastor Jackson shared with me that I remember to this day was this passage of scripture. And he said, "Young man, I want to always tell you." And what he did was he took me to the other side of this verse where it talks about what the husband's duty is. See, we're not really looking at that today. We're just looking at this one because that's who we are. We are the bride of Christ. But the other side of that passage, it talks a lot and is really weighty on what the husband's duty is. And so he brought me to that passage and he said, "Young man," he said, "I want to tell you, that's your job description. If you want your marriage to be successful, you need to focus on that part of the scripture. Don't focus on what the wife's job is." He said, "The reason why is because that's her job. That's not your job. Your job is not to make her love you or to submit to you. Your job is to love her as Christ loved the church." And he said, 9 times out of 10, I can guarantee you, most marriages get in trouble when the husband is trying to tell the wife what her job description is, or she's trying to tell the husband what his job description is, rather than they focus on their duty. If I focus on loving my wife, guess what? I don't have to worry about her submitting to me. That doesn't have to even be a situation that comes in the equation, because I'm doing my job. And if she's doing her job, it just flows together. But the ultimate cement that brings it all together, church family, is love. See, submission has become, in our modern day society, the world, when you look at that word submission, it almost has a negative connotation to it. It almost makes it seem like if you're a submitted person, you're a weakling, you can't stand on your own, you can't make up your own mind. But in the kingdom, we know better, because our submission opens us up to the authority that our Father flows through us mightily and can use us for. Well, I want to be dependent on him. I long to be dependent on him, because without him, we can do nothing. But submitted to him and knowing all the stuff that he is able, I encourage you, read the other side of this passage of scripture when you get a chance and look at all the things that he's bound to do. It's weightier. All we have to do is submit to him, and in our submission, all of that authority that's in him, it flows through us. And we're going to look at that today. But the life, we're going to talk today about the life and attitude of the bride. The life and attitude of the bride. Our life is a life of submission to the lordship of our Lord and Savior. When we submit to that, there is nothing impossible to us as the believer. It doesn't put us in a position of weakness. It puts us in a position of his of supernatural ability that can flow through us in ways that we can't even comprehend, because we get out of the way and we allow him to live big through us. In our relationship with God, sometimes we can even get it twisted. I know none of us has ever said this in this room, but you know, "God, if you really loved me, you would." And we might not say it, but sometimes we act like it. But the equation is, guess what? There is no doubt. His love is without question. He loves us with an unconditional love. And when we, the church, when we can totally submit ourselves to him, we can do this because we know one thing, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that love him being the husband, him being the head, that love has been totally equated to us, and we don't have to be in doubt about that. We don't ever have to be in doubt. Today, we're going to look at the importance of the attitude of submission. Once again, as I said, in the economy of the world system, the word submission is very indicative of being weak, needy, incapable of being able to stand. But we in the kingdom, we know that's far from reality. One of the greatest strengths of the believer is when we have a submitted life completely and totally to the will of the Father. Our submission is a byproduct of our love of God. One thing that we can always be certain is that the love of Christ, that's a love that's certain. That's nothing that I have to ever doubt or wonder or worry about. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, he loves me. He loves us. And because of that love, the Bible says that we can come to him without wrath or trembling. We come to him boldly because we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, the Father's love has made manifest to us. Notice one thing that it says in that passage of scripture where it says subject. That means that, and it reminds me of Romans. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Very familiar passage of scripture, but let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Now, notice that passage, spiritual service of worship. When someone joins what we call the armed forces or we call the services, did somebody force them to do that? Now, I know we had a draft at one time where they made people go, but when someone joins the service or when someone does service, do they do it because someone tells them, you got to serve? They do it because they willingly, out of their heart, want to serve. Anybody in the armed forces, they consider their service to our country an honor. It's not something somebody made me do. And that's why I have full respect for those who have served in the military, those who are police officers and firefighters. Those are people who are putting their lives on the front line of danger. But they're doing it because they have a heart to do it. Now, notice when we talk about our spiritual service and our worship to God, it's not because no one forced any of you in this building, I hope, to come to church this morning, to be part of the assembly. You did it because you have a love for the Father. And when we have that heart of understanding that when we allow ourselves to be in his service, that's one of the greatest places we can be. Because we stand from that submitted position in a place where his power and his might can be lived out through us without question. It's responding. See, the thing is that we're doing that because that's our love for him. And when he sees, it's almost like a give and take relationship. We give our love to him, and in exchange, he gives our love to us by flowing through us and enabling us to be the body of Christ. You can't have one without the other. And the one thing about it, he didn't create us to be some automatons that walk around serving him. He gave each and every last person on this earth the choice to serve him and doing so in love. You know, if you think about the awesome way of how he created everything, he created everything on this earth. Guess what, y'all? For us. He put it all, the flowers, the diamonds, Brother Derek. he put it all on the earth for us. He placed everything in position, and the last thing he put in earth was us. It's like my wife was saying, it's amazing. She was saying today in our Sunday classes, it's amazing how, you know, for whatever reason, and we know there's medicinal purposes for all kinds of yield seed-bearing plants, marijuana even, you know what I'm saying? But it's sad that people are bound by a plant when God gave us the ability to have authority over that thing. We got people bound by something that's created. And that was never the intention of the Father. But the bottom line is that we have been placed here to be those conduits of his love. God desired, and you can look at this, I love it in E.W. Kenyon's book, The Bible in the Light of Our Redemption, which I would encourage you, if you've never read that book, That's a book you don't graduate from. That's a book that it's so much revelation and truth in that book that it just goes on year after year anytime you pick it up. But one of the things that really blessed me from understanding that book, and this is where I really began to understand, growing up in all my life in religious circles and having very this much dogmatic understanding of God and the Word, when I got in that book and saw the heart of God, that God put me down here because he loved me, because he wanted a relationship with us. He was thinking about us when we weren't even thinking about him, and had a plan for us in the middle of all of it. And so we arise to the fact and choose to receive him. And so it's all part of that. God, the spiritual service of worship that we have towards him and for him. Matthew 22, look at verses 34 through 40. And once again, we're looking at as the bride, the now I would say responsibility, but it's not really a responsibility, it's a choice. Love is a choice. The choice of loving him is attached to our submission to him. The love that we have is a byproduct of that submission. It's not a you gotta come to church or you gotta be a hostess. No, it's we do these things or whatever we're doing, whether it's serving God in our spheres of influence that he's called us to, or we're serving in the body, or we're serving in the community, whatever, wherever God has placed us, we're doing this not out of a heart of obligation. And even in, and you know how the word of God says, even when we give, we don't do so grudgingly. We don't do it because we have to do it. We do it because we have a cheerful heart. And that cheerful heart comes out of a heart of love to serve him. Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40, it says, but when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. And one of them, a lawyer, God for them lawyers, asked him a question, testing him, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the law and prophets. Look how powerful that is. On these commandments, loving God with all your heart and all your soul, everything, and then loving your neighbor, he said that these two commandments are what the whole law and prophets are dependent on. That's how important our love walk is with the Father. Is that God has based everything. You know, people get caught up in the Ten Commandments and all that stuff. That's the law of sin and death. That's been passed away. Now we have the law of life and liberty in Christ Jesus. And this is what he's telling them. He goes, everything that's all the law and everything is based on these commandments, love, you know. And you know, we all know the great passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where Paul talks about love. If I don't serve, if I don't honor or do anything out of a heart of love, guess what? It profits me absolutely nothing. It profits me nothing. So we have to make sure that whatever we're attaching our life to, we have to do it with the love of Christ that abides in our hearts. Now we're going to examine, let's go back and I told you to put your finger in Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to go back there, and we're going to look at it just a little bit more in depth. And I want to read it. I want to read that passage again from the Amplified. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24, which is our main passage of thought that we're coming from today. This is from the Amplified, if you have it. It says, wives, be subject to your own husbands as a service to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife as Christ is head of the church, himself being the savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives should be subject to their husbands in everything, respecting both their position as protector and their responsibility to God as head of the house. Respecting both their position as protector and their responsibility to God as head of the house. Now, once again, look at what he's saying. He says, number one, our job description as the bride is to be subject. Now, what does to be subject sound like? What does that mean? Being dependent on or conditional upon something or someone, being under the dominion or authority as of a sovereign authority or government. So understand this. This is how I'm gonna break it down to you. I understood it and bless me. When my wife, the day she became my wife, she no longer was of the house of Delaney. She came into the house of O'Brien. And so because of that, the old things, behold, you know, any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old stuff that was associated with the Delaney household, when she came into the O'Brien household, that was different because she exchanged households. When we came out of darkness and came into the kingdom of his dear son, all the old stuff and the way we did stuff, we ditched that when we became subject to him. And we exchanged our way of thinking. We exchanged the way we did things. And we said, Lord, we're under your house. And since we're under your house, this is the way we're going to do things from now on. This is the way we're going to operate, because it's no longer my house. It's your house. It's your way of doing things. And that's not a thing that there's bondage in. That's not a thing that compels us, that we're forced to do it. That's something that ushers us into a life that was much better than what we had prior. Much better than what we had. Being dependent on, conditional to him, being under his dominion, under his authority, that's a much better place to be than what we came from. And then the second part of that, it says, but as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives should be subject to their husbands in everything, respecting both their position as protector and their responsibility to God as head of the house. So you know what I thought about when I saw that statement right there, respecting both their position as protector and responsibility of God as head of the house? I thought of to myself when Jesus was tempted of the devil. And if you remember what it was, the enemy came and he brought several different things to Jesus. You know, the turning the bread to the stones to bread, and then also telling him to jump off the cliff, and then telling him, I'm going to give you all this stuff. Well, Jesus made it very clear to him, this is not the way it is in the word. So I'm not going to go there, because I'm not going to tempt. One of the areas he said, it's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I'm not going to put myself in a situation where I exchange what's before me than what I know the character and heart of my father is. See, the enemy was trying to get him to receive or do something that was totally contrary to what God intended. He even used the word to twist it. But the Lord told him very straight up, I'm not going to do these things, because that's not how we operate in my father's house. That's what it came down to. I'm not going to tempt him, because that's not the way he does things. I'm not going to turn stone to bread, because I don't live off. Jesus said, I don't speak anything other than what my father said. Now, him being our example and we're being of that same household, my opinion and what I think of the situation is irrelevant if I'm in the house of faith. If I'm in the house of faith, all that matters is, guess what? It is written. In fact, I limit his ability to flow through me if I start coming with my opinion. I start limiting his authority when I start trying to take what I see before me as being more real than what the truth of the word of God is. So that's what I'm saying is, when those temptations came, Jesus knew, this is not how we operate in my father's house. So you can go somewhere with that mess, Satan. And I'm not going to allow. And that's what I'm saying. The enemy will do the same thing in our lives. He'll bring things that may appear on the surface to be what need to be addressed at that moment. But we in the household of faith, if we understand what the word has promised us, what we know the word has said on that situation, we don't even give ear to that mess, because we know how our father's house operates. We know how we operate and how we do things in his house. So understanding that, that's understanding who we are in Christ Jesus. Some additional verses that demonstrate the importance of submission. And once again, I don't want you to get away from that submission Love is the heart of submission. That you can't separate. See, so I really want us to not think of that word ever again as a weakness, you know. Or even when God has placed leadership in the body, and you say, well, I got to submit to that person, or I got, no. Guess what? We all have to submit to him. And even those who, the Bible says, those who have been given the call to minister and teach, guess what? We gotta be responsible for some stuff ourselves too. That doesn't make us bigger here and everybody else. No, we're all on the same thing. We all are under that same household of faith. It's just you have people that have this role, you have people that have this role, but the bottom line, we're all submitted to the same head and we're under his lordship. Let's look at John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. And I won't even read that because you all know that. But bottom line is, and I'll just paraphrase and you can read along. You know, this is Peter has committed high treason. He said, you know, Jesus told him, man, before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me. And he, no, God, I'm not gonna do that, Jesus, never. He did it. He blew it. Committed high treason. And basically walked away. But see, this is after the resurrection. Jesus is before him, and Jesus puts it before him. Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, again, do you love me? Oh, God, Jesus, come on, you know I love you. Feed my lambs. Peter, once again, do you love me? Lord, he's hurt by it. Lord, I love you. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. Love covers a multitude of sin. And see, he met Peter with love and used love to get the thing that brought him back. When Peter had walked away and turned his back on him, but the Lord will never turn his back on his own. We got to be the ones to walk away from that love. But that love is always present on his part. But when we submit to that love with the love that's in our heart to him, he covers. He covers. It's just like, I think about Noah. Noah was drunk, all, you know, and his sons, they wasn't going to look at their dad like that. And they covered him. They wouldn't even look at him like that. That's why I think the Father looks. The blood covers us. There's nothing bigger than what the blood does, and that covers us. Now, it doesn't give us access to take advantage of that love, but the bottom line is that love is available. That love is available. It doesn't run dry. And that's where he meets us. He never meets us out of heart of judgment or condemnation. In fact, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, the word says. But he meets us out of that heart of love. He could have came to Peter and said, Peter, you know better. I told you was going to do that, son. You messed up, boy. He didn't meet him there. He met him with love and gave Peter the opportunity to respond back to him in submission with his love, and it was done with. Period. You're back in the fold. And we saw what Peter went on just a few weeks later and did. God used him to bring all those people, those first people, after receiving the empowerment of the Spirit, seeing all those people birthed into the kingdom. And you see how bold Peter began to walk. And I believe it was totally based on him responding back to the love that God responded to him with. It was a done deal. I don't have to worry about, I missed it. I messed up. I did deny him. But hey, that's in the past. We dealt with that. Love dealt with that. Love covered that. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. You know, it's real easy to submit to, well, not to say easy, but, you know, when we, you know, the importance of submitting to God is definitely important, but there's also a horizontal submission. We have to submit to one another as the body. And it's real easy a lot of times for us to, you know, walk hand in hand with my brother and my sister. But is it easy to walk hand? You know, the Bible says that if that love, the commandment was to love him, right, and to love our neighbor. Sometimes our neighbor can be ugly. Sometimes you have the opportunity to not love your neighbor because of their ugliness. But that does not negate the fact that our love has to be extended even to those people. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over you, over your souls, as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy, and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Once again, if I can't love my pastor, I sure can't expect God to bless me. If I can't love those who've been placed in authority over me, you know, it's important. And I just say this as a side note. And I thank God for this man of God who has sowed the word in us over the years. I thank God for him. And I thank God that he's entrusted us. We can never be him. It's just a reality. We can never be him, but he has put the word in each one of us and encourage us to walk out the way God has called each one of us individually to walk it out. And so I thank God for that. But I would encourage you, saints, cover every person that stands here and ministers to you. Pray for them. You know, I'm so thankful for my brothers. They bless me. They make me want to sit down because the word is so rich in them. But I would encourage you, pray. When people stand before us to minister, whether it be guest ministers or ministers from the house, pray for them and pray with them. You know, I'm reminded, I think Pastor told the story of Charles Spurgeon. When Charles Spurgeon began preaching, and it was dry. It was like people were like, man, if this is going to be our pastor, we're in trouble because this brother's message is. Hey. And so the people, what they did was where he stood, there was a platform, and underneath him, the people, there was a hall or something, or they had built a basement, yeah. And the people were basically, as he was ministering, they were praying for him right under where he stood. And this man's messages were so powerful that they began printing them in the newspaper. And that was because the people had a heart to pray and cover. So I would just say, just a side note, pray for us. As we're ministering, because when you do that, you allow the Lord to do whatever he needs to do in us for your benefit, for you to be blessed. And guess what? For me too. This word is not just for you. It's for me too. You know, I remember a man of God said, every time I point my finger at you, it's four more pointing back at me, telling me what I need to do. So the bottom line is that it's once again, it's all part of what we said here of that submission. It's a heart of love covering one another. 1 Peter, that was just a side note, but I just wanted to share that with you. Just continue to pray for every person that stands here and ministers, because as you do that, you're allowing whatever needs to be brought out for your benefit. A lot of times we don't know. The Holy Spirit will say this or that because there's a believer that's standing, there's a believer that's praying, and God knows what you need better than we do. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondslaves of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. So once again, I just want to point out the importance of our submission of even to those who aren't doing everything that they're supposed to do, even in our workplaces, wherever we might be. Submit to those people because God has placed them in that position. And when you do that, God will take care of you. Even though they got it wrong, even they're not doing it right, God will take care of you. He'll promote you. He'll elevate you because your heart is to honor him where you are. One thing that I have done for years, And I will continue to do it. Where I work, I work in a university, so we have, people have the title of dean or doctor. I've never called my boss by his first name. People do it all the time. I never do that. Why? Because that man has been placed in that position. And so by honoring that position, God will honor me. I'm not going to call him by his first name because that's, number one, that's disrespectful. And when he's in that office, that's where he's operating. So therefore, I need to honor that place, that office that he's in. And in doing so, I can make sure that God elevates me. When we submit, submission is the total umbrella of God's provision and advancement to the believer. When we can submit, we're putting ourselves in a position where God has no problem blessing us because we understand who he is, and from our heart of submission to him, we can submit to one another. You see people who flip out and want to have an attitude and speak back to people. Those are the people 9 times out of 10 you don't get seen elevated, promoted. Because when I put my agenda aside and I can submit to a program, even though the program might not be correct, even though we might be in a workplace where they're embezzling or whatever, could be whatever it is going on. If that person isn't doing right, that doesn't negate me from not doing right. And when I can honor them, God honors us because of our heart of submission. One thing that we have to understand as believers is that we've been created to be vessels for his glory to flow through. And in doing that, when we submit to the Father, when we submit and have that same love that he has for us flowing back to him and also to others, there is nothing impossible to the believer. Nothing. When we truly know that we are loved, why? The Bible says we love him. Why? Because we first know he loved us and did everything that was necessary for us to be in the household of faith. So I can gladly submit to him. I can gladly submit to his plan and purpose because I understand there's a greater reward attached to that submission than just, I got to go through this. I got to do this. When I do it because I love him, there is nothing that's bound or against me because he's operating in me and allowing me to be his vessel. And once again, I said it's a giving in exchange of love. It's like we meet him out of that heart of submission. He meets us right back with his authority, his grace, his covering. And church, that's where we need to operate in where we're going as the believers in this time and season, to operate to the fullness of what God has called us to, operating in full submission to his will, plan, and purpose for us as believers. It is so essential to have that understanding of knowing that love that he manifested for us. He's just looking for us to respond in that same heart of submission and gratitude and love for who he is. And when we put him in that place, when we put him in that place in our lives, I mean, every area is submitted. Sometimes we can be selective with what we fully submit to him. But I would encourage you, if in this year, let's purpose to in every area and even ask the Father, Father, show me those areas that I have not fully given completely to you. Let me know within my heart of hearts, and many of us, we already know, but the Lord will show us those areas that he's just waiting for us to give it to him. He's just waiting for us to give us that area that we might not be fully or have fully submitted to him. And when we do, there is no doubt that the Father will take those areas and turn them around for our good. And when we see him defeating those foes, defeating those lies that came against us because we gave them to him, this is going to be an awesome year for you. This is going to be an incredible year for you. And I would encourage you, going into it, don't leave nothing behind that you don't give to the Father to deal with, me included. Let's put it all on the table and say, Father, this is an area that I need your help in. And when we do that, knowing the Father doesn't say, oh, I'm not going to help you with that. No, he says, bring it to me. I can handle it. My yoke is easy.
My burden is light. And he wants us operating out of that understanding, out of that mindset, that fully submitted to him, there is absolutely nothing that we can't do in walking as his bride. The love relationship that he has for us, he wants us responding to in that same mindset of understanding he's got all this stuff covered. He's just asking, what are you going to do with your side? Don't leave nothing behind, but present it to him. Present yourselves a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service, your spiritual service of worship. Something that we get to do. We have the opportunity to worship him. That's why it's important, it says, to worship him in spirit and in truth. Because that means I come unabated. I'm giving him everything. And when I can give him everything, when I can worship him like that with my whole life, with my whole heart, man, get ready, devil. You about to get the biggest black eye you ever seen. Church, you're loved. You're blessed. This is your season. It didn't stop in 2017. It's continuing. Continue to press into God. Continue to give him the fullness of everything and those things that the Bible says that he's moved with our very inability to produce. He's moved by that. You know why he's moved by it? Because he doesn't want us carrying it. He wants us presenting it to him, submitting it to him totally, and in doing so, he will empower us to walk victoriously. Amen? Yes. Were you blessed? Yes. Amen. Press into God like never before. This is your year. You are loved. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that because of your great love for us, Lord, we can respond to that love completely, Father, totally. Father God, we just rejoice that you, out of your love, ushered us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of your dear Son of light, Father. And we thank you, Lord God, that in this time and in this season, you have great things for your body, Father God, and we will not leave anything on the table or behind, but we will present it to you, Father God, knowing that you will empower us to walk in the fullness of who you called us to be and operate as your sons in your house, Father. We rejoice, we praise you, Father, and we give you all the glory, for you are truly worthy, sir. Thank you, Father. Amen. Brother Kenneth.
Trust you are all blessed. Hallelujah. I want to give you an opportunity immediately following assembly, if you would like to sow into the ministry through Brother Damon. There's buckets here for those, if you want to write a check or that green cash. Definitely bless him. A couple of more things. One, if you're going to see Brother Rudy, just make sure that you talk with Sister Jody, get his number, and call before you go. She's back there waving the back. I got to see him last night, a couple hours, and he was preaching himself happy, so he's doing good. But definitely go see Jody, get his number, and please, you know, he's one of our bodies, so definitely honor him. And before we dismiss, I want to give us some time. We're going to stand together and just continue and celebrate with our Pastor Jim and Sister Lou. I can't play the piano or sing, but I know how to celebrate. So if y'all could stand. And Father, we just thank you. We celebrate the victory. We celebrate all the good that you are doing in our Pastor Jim and Sister Lou, Father. We thank you, Father. We are hooked up with you as our chief shepherd, and then he as a shepherd under you, Father. We thank you that he walks in wholeness, that he is healed completely, Father. We thank you that he has a new heart, he has new organs, Father, that he walks in your divine strength, Father. We thank you for the peace that surpasses all understanding for he and our First Lady, Sister Lou, Father. We thank you that they walk in your victory, they walk in your boldness, Father, and they will continue to decree your goodness here on the earth, Father. We thank you, we rejoice, we are excited for the completed work in them, Father, and we glorify you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise God, you are dismissed. All first-time visitors, Come fellowship with us in the front foyer.